Hi, everybody, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. Excuse me, that's form of habit, but wherever you may be, that means most of you are home, just as I am, waiting, hopefully, for opening day. I trust all is well. I hope you are far and away from any sickness, and I miss you.
Cormier's in big, big trouble, and John is all over him.
Here comes Johnny Bones with the ground and pound. Cormier.
That could be it.
Trying to survive.
That's it. He's out.
John Jones has done it. John Jones is back.
Sheamus going for the death blow. The bro kick.
It's a good career, Roman.
Spam!
No!
Spam!
No!
The cover!
No!
Roman Reigns is
no!
champion! Roman Reigns is champion!
Why don't you go grab us some coffee?
Come on, are you kidding?
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Better yet, go to the ear, nose, and throat department. Get your hearing checked.
I like that. A little Pauly Walnuts to start your Friday. What's up, Las Vegas? Welcome into the Mac Attack here on 920 The Game. I am Ryan McKittle, and we got a stacked show for you over the next hour. Got Chris Chapman on the ones and twos across the way. Got an update on John Bones Jones. Got an update on UFC 249 and who won't be there. Hopefully the entire UFC, the fighters, Khabib Nurmagomedov, Tony Ferguson, and everyone else involved, because if Dana White doesn't realize that you're not putting on events right now, oh, man. But hey, there's still a couple more weeks until the scheduled April 18th bout of UFC 249, so maybe cooler heads will prevail. And maybe some of those cooler heads will actually force Dana White into having a cool head. We'll see. We'll get an update as far as that goes. Plenty to get to here on the Mac Attack, but we are going to start with a little baseball news. I celebrated my opening day yesterday, Magnum, like I said I would. Popped in Major League in the old DVD player. Fired up the Hebrew National on the skillet. Some caramelized onions, a little relish, a little mustard. Made some hot dogs. And we're going to ruin my opening day. Well, I made it happen. Also, I realized when I was picking through the DVDs, if this quarantine goes on for, you know, months, I'm thinking about opening up a Blockbuster. I mean, I'm not going to call it Blockbuster, but I was going through. I got about 600 DVDs all in a nice little case. I figure I kept all the boxes. I figure I can, you know, people used to make fun of me. What are you doing? Why do you have all those DVDs? You know, don't you know that you can stream now and everything's electronic? And, you know, I was the crazy guy talking about solar flares and the closing down of the country. And what if we don't have internet? What are you going to do then? Yeah, well, guess what? I win now. I had Major League on DVD. Now, I guess our internet's still working. I don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, I just like to throw that out there. If things get bad enough, I am going to open up a video rental. Remember those old school video rental shops?
Of course.
You know, in the neighborhood growing up in Jersey, they used to have, like, there was only one copy of each movie or video game.
And you would show up on a Friday night. Yeah.
Oh, it'd always be gone. And they had the little tag there that you'd pull the tag and then go give it to the front desk.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to do. And real estate's going to be hella cheap. So I'll be able to go and open up a storefront, no problem.
Yeah. I mean, the crazy thing is you're not alone. I would go into stores like maybe 10, 12 years ago before digital became really big, before streaming was.
You hit all the $5, $2 bins?
Yeah, like back when Netflix would actually send you a copy of the DVD and you'd have to send it back.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, what's wrong with these people? Who's going to do that? Well, clearly the people who run Netflix are much, much smarter than me, because digital is clearly where we're at.
For now.
Yes, there'll be something that comes along at some point that's bigger and better. But like,
I was going back to the solar flare and the death of the internet, and then having no connectivity or Wi-Fi.
I have so many crappy DVDs, and then I have like classics from like the 80s, like Throw Mama from the Train.
Oh, that's great. See, those are the rare ones. I have a lot of those as well.
Yeah.
Like the ones that, you know, weren't mass produced and maybe they've got some cool bonus features. I'm telling you, man.
Well,
DVDs are going to be currency in the upcoming apocalypse. I'm sure of it.
I got the best Valentine's Day gift ever from an ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
She bought me the entire box set of the Looney Tunes. It's 24 discs.
That's incredible.
Of the Looney Tunes.
Wait, what month of the quarantine are you going to bust out the Looney Tunes? Because, buddy, we've seen it. Like our buddy JVT, he was doing a puzzle for a little while. I've seen a lot of people doing puzzles. Guys, we are 2 weeks into this. You're already busting out the puzzles?
Yeah.
Be careful. Yeah. Like, puzzles, I feel like, are like quarantine month three. I feel like Looney Tunes 25 disc set DVDs, that's like year one of quarantine. Like, yeah. It would take me a lot to get to that.
I mean, I feel like we are we are still far away from that for me with the Looney Tunes. I mean, I have a lot to catch up on.
Well, most importantly, you have Tiger King
yes,
this weekend.
I yes. watched the preview of it the other day, and I was like, this looks like the most ridiculous, unintentionally funny thing I've ever seen.
Yep. And ridiculous is a good way to put it.
I wasn't sure what it was about, right? Because I had read that there's devils and stuff. And
there's all sorts of stuff.
You know, and I was like, Tiger King. I thought it was going to be like kind of like a Stranger Things type of thing.
No, it's polygamy. It's meth. It's homosexuality. Murder for hire. It's murder for hire. It's homosexuality. It's all sorts of things. And it's just.
And there's animals.
There's tigers. There's baby tigers.
You can't
tigers,
go wrong with baby tigers.
Alligators, crocodiles. Yeah. It is a plethora of insanity. And really a microcosm of America if you want to get artsy about it.
I've seen some memes, and I think it was Greg Salerno who tweeted it out, who is a very funny guy, our friend over at Comp.
The Comp Morning Show.
And I think it was him who, it probably would be, but he tweeted out a picture of whatever the guy's name is, because I don't know, I haven't watched an episode yet, the main character.
His name is Joe Exotic.
And he said, I'm going to tell my kids this is Billy Ray Cyrus or something like, or this is the greatest country music.
No,
it was Steve Irwin. I'm going to tell my kids this was Steve Irwin.
You know, I think Netflix really needs to just keep heaters on deck like this, like not release them. You need to have a Tiger King always ready to go for the next pandemic, because clearly Tiger King has brought this nation together and bonded us in ways that we could have not foreseen.
Well, there's Love is Blind as well, which apparently I have to watch.
No, I'm not watching that, no.
No.
I draw a line. Oh, you know,
Stormy from the Golden Knights is a huge fan.
Yeah, so is Adam Hill. And honestly, anything Adam Hill is a huge fan of, I tend to stay away from.
See, I think Adam Hill probably has some pretty good taste.
He does, but you need to be able to weed through the mindless stuff that Adam Hill likes, because his life is just so chaotic. He likes to turn on stupid stuff and just drone out, which is fine. I'm not judging. I'm just saying that's not for me. I can't watch reality TV like that.
Yeah.
I think it is. I don't know. I haven't done a deep dive into Love is Blind, but the best that I can discern from people talking about it is that it is some sort of like Love Island reality show. I don't know. I can't do it. I was never made that way. I've got too much. I still haven't seen The Wire. And you think I'm going to go watch Love is Blind? You're tripping.
Yeah, can I get The Wire?
HBO Now or HBO Go.
Is it
Go.
Really? Okay.
It's on their streaming platform. All right, for sure.
Yeah, because I have HBO.
You should be good. You should be good. But as I said, I wanted to start the show talking about baseball. That led to Major League. That led to DVDs. That led to the show starting off the rails.
Love is Blind.
Yes, Love is Blind, which is not uncommon for this show, but we appreciate you sticking around because, yes, we have an update concerning Major League Baseball. Now, the union and the Players Association and the league got together and formulated a deal, ironed out a deal that, you know, takes care of some contract stuff and some draft pick stuff and some formulaic kind of business stuff that really doesn't involve this show because it's really not important to where I want to go with. What is important, though, are kind of the details on when we can potentially expect Major League Baseball to be back in front of us. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't look good. And I'm talking for the entire season. And that's because a couple of the main takeaways from this reporting from Jeff Passan from ESPN, doing a spot on ESPN Sports Center last night with a Rage Against the Machine and Pink Floyd album covers in the background. So good for you, Jeff Passan. Just wanted to mention that. But back to this deal that was reached between the Players Association and Major League Baseball. A couple of the caveats here. The players and the league agreed that the 2020 season won't begin until, one, there are no bans on mass gatherings that limit the ability to play in front of fans. There are no travel restrictions. And then medical experts determine games will not pose a risk of health in term, excuse me, medical experts determine games will not pose a risk to the health of teams and fans. Now, there is a caveat to that first part, the part that I read that said they agreed to the season as long as there are no bans on mass gatherings that limit the ability to play in front of fans. That is difficult because if you've been paying any attention to what some of the experts have been projecting and like pulsing and the fact that we'll get back out into society maybe in a couple months and then there will be more cases that pop up and we'll have to kind of go back to what we just came from, which is probably a likelihood. That's why you heard and why reports had stated that potentially 18 months was a very realistic possibility for what we may be facing. And, you know, I don't want to speculate, but we don't really know about this virus. We just saw a report, Magnum, before the show started out of Wuhan, out of China, that previously infected people that showed no signs of coronavirus are now getting reinfected.
Yeah, that was on NPR.
Yeah, that's dangerous for obvious reasons. I don't think I need to get into that. But when we talk about it in context of the Major League Baseball season and the players in the league agreeing to these caveats, these details, whatever you want to call it, right? I want to go back to that first part, that they will play or they won't play until there are no bans on mass gatherings that limit the ability to play in front of fans. There was a caveat that the players agreed to, that is that they will consider playing games at neutral sites instead of home ballparks and will consider the feasibility of playing in empty stadiums and just how proper a solution it may be for both sides and especially fans. So on one hand, it's saying there are no bans, they won't begin until there are no bans on mass gatherings that limit the ability to play in front of fans. But then they're also saying, hey, we'll look at neutral sites, empty stadiums potentially, and then just how proper a solution they may be for both sides going forward, especially the fans. My only takeaway from this, Magnum, is that they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, well,
it's just wording, it's legalities, it's more contract stuff, and like, hey, if this happens, like, let's leave it open to interpretation. But I don't think they know what they want to do, which I'm not blaming them for that. This is uncharted waters that we're living. Everybody, the show that we do, the lives that you're living. If you're lucky enough to still have a job and being able to work from home, I know we're very fortunate to still be able to bring this show to you, and we're very thankful for that. But we also know that not everybody is in that boat. And Major League Baseball is sitting here trying to figure out what's going to happen in the next month, the next 2 months. They know they can't do that. So this is the wording that they have to put in place. I would just say the firm wording of that they're not going to do anything until there are no travel restrictions and medical experts determine games will not pose a risk to the health of the teams and the fans. Magnum, this I would just say get prepared for not having baseball for 2020.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good, because what we're seeing coming out of New York right now is something that I don't know if anyone ever could have imagined.
Oh, I think so. I mean, I thought a month ago when you saw what was happening in Italy and the fact that we weren't getting ahead of it and not taking it seriously.
Yeah.
It's just if you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it, right?
Yeah, that's
true. And that goes for month-old history.
Yeah,
if you're not paying attention to what is happening around you or what is happening prior, even if it is a couple weeks before, it just, to me, New York sounds like Italy was 3 weeks ago. And then other major American cities are going to be in the same situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing about Detroit and New Orleans.
Seattle. Actually, Seattle was telling. Washington was telling about us this about 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. When they started getting their first
absolutely.
Cases.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the mayor of Seattle came out. And I saw, I don't remember what network is on, but she gave an interview and she's like, listen, we were proactive. We got ahead of it and we're still living in hell. And I'm doing this to tell you because you're all going to be going through this. It's better to get ahead of it right now. So it was informed, educated, you know, responsible adults that were telling me weeks ago to kind of mentally prepare for what we're living now. So I look at New York and it's like, yeah. And I look at America, as we mentioned live on the show yesterday, as it came down, America now the leader in coronavirus cases. And mind you, this is without proper testing and with, you know, potentially some of those numbers being skewed, especially the death numbers. So,
I'm trying to stay positive here. And, you know, for at least us locally.
Yeah.
I will give all the credit in the world to Steve Sisolak.
Absolutely.
Because he had to make an impossible decision. And I know a lot of people, they'll politicize it. I don't care. You know, I loved Brian Sandoval. I thought he was an amazing governor. I hope he decides to run for president one day. I'll say that, because I think he's someone we all could get behind.
So much for not making it political.
But because he was a Republican.
I know.
So it's not a Republican versus right. Democrat thing for me. But Sisolak had to make the impossible decision of shutting down the biggest industry in our state.
Yeah. And listen, we saw it with Florida and Governor Ron DeSantis not wanting to shut down Florida.
They had 1,900 cases yesterday.
Right.
They,
oh, it's going to spike. It's going to go through the roof. So you're absolutely right. When you talk about local leadership and the way it has been handled specifically in tourist states, getting ahead of it and making the right decision is clearly the most important way to go. And that's what baseball's doing. You know, baseball, every league. I mean, the NBA made that decision when Rudy Gobert tested positive.
By the way, all the players in the Jazz are now
I saw
cleared
that.
Of that includes Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah. That's good.
That's good news.
That is good news. Back to baseball, there's a report from Bob Nightingale that MLB teams, or excuse me, Major League Baseball and the players are willing to play up until Thanksgiving, if necessary, just to play as many games resembling a full season as possible. Still having an All-Star game is unlikely, but it's not been ruled out. I'll just say this. If it comes down to, you know, well, we've got to equate for the fans. We've got to make sure the fans are taken care of. Listen, damn the fans. I say as a sports fan, I say as a baseball fan, as an American, we need baseball back. If it doesn't come back in 2020, then that's what it has to be. But if there is a chance that we can get this back with playing in front of empty stadiums, then so be it. I don't need fans at these games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't.
That's what they're going to do in Taiwan.
Yeah.
They're starting their baseball league, at least as of 2 days ago. They're going to start their league on April 11th. They only have a couple teams in the league. I think there's five now. There were four when I was living there. But they're going to start their league back up in April. They're going to play it in empty stadiums. They're going to play. And I think I read today that as of 3 days ago in Korea, mind you, South Korea, one of the first countries hit by this.
Yeah.
They're going to allow inter-squad games beginning April 7th. And I saw the Kia Tigers, that's the number one team in South Korea. Apparently, they're already back to practice. So they're looking at starting up sometime after April 20th.
Well, what I like about this is we're going to get an idea of what we can do, if we can do anything, because if South Korea and if these Taiwan, they start bringing back sports and it starts getting hit in locker rooms and it starts spreading among teammates, then we'll know that, hey,
yeah.
Now, we don't have the control on this.
Taiwan has only had 144 cases,
oh,
and
wow.
88 of them have come in from like people returning from other countries.
Oh,
and
wow.
But
we have thousands in each state.
Having lived there, I could tell you, even before this, they monitor people coming in because they went through SARS. They went through that. Mm-hmm. And Hong Kong, same thing, right? The whole city's pretty much shut down in Hong Kong. The airport's kind of emptied. Cathay Pacific, the number one airline in Hong Kong, they're not flying majority of their routes. But they've done a really good job of keeping this out because they've had experience with it.
And you know what? As you look at America, I guarantee you. Now this is gonna suck. It sucks right now. There's no denying that. There's no like sugarcoating it. This is not a great time. It is what it is. But hopefully, we can learn from it because SARS, pig flu, whatever, swine flu, whatever.
H1N1,
bird flu, all the ones that we've had and that were stopped before they got to America because leadership in place, you know, heeded the warnings weeks, months, years before. Depending.
Yeah, I mean, I read today that Germany is very likely going to be the first European country to flatten the curve. Now, you have to imagine that they probably started getting cases probably around the same time Italy, Spain, and France
for sure.
did.
Absolutely.
But their leadership on a national level didn't call it a hoax.
Yep.
They didn't downplay it to try to save their political career.
And that's the hope. Hopefully, you talked about Taiwan with SARS, South Korea with SARS, and that
Like, I could remember
that area of the world. What I'm saying is hopefully we get the same lesson here in America. After we deal with this, we will realize and understand the seriousness of pandemics and these diseases and these sicknesses. It's not just the flu. It's not just yada, 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 right?
Yeah,
these things can shut down our entire world and can change our world forever.
When I flew home from Japan back in late January, I flew through Honolulu, Tokyo to Honolulu. When I was going through customs in Honolulu, there was Korean Air flight next to me. All their flight attendants and pilots were all wearing masks, every single one of them. Now, I don't know if they wear them in flight.
No.
Because I didn't fly them. But when we were standing in line at customs to go through into America, they all had masks on. And I could see lots of people who were Korean who came off that flight, same thing, all wearing masks.
Because they've lived it. They know.
Yeah, they've been through it.
It changed their world years ago, and this is going to change our world potentially going forward. I want to pivot from Major League Baseball. I want to get to some NBA news, especially because this could potentially affect us locally. But Magnum, each one of these stories, I'm kind of taken with a grain of salt because I really think it's all wishful thinking. This comes on a report from CNBC that spoke with NBA executives and agents who discussed these stories with CNBC on the understanding of anonymity. So they don't the condition of anonymity, excuse me. So there is this thought that is going around, and according to this report, according to executives and agents, that Las Vegas has potentially emerged as the best location to resume the season in what would be a bit of an end of the season tournament to determine, I guess, is my understanding, would be some sort of playoff or a tournament into the playoffs. Not much more information was given outside of that. Again, I don't see how it's likely. I don't see how it's feasible. I think everyone is scrambling. They're hoping, they're wishing, they want these things to happen. And Vegas, it looks like, would be a good place to have that from the standpoint that we look like we are, we're doing a good job of social distancing and flattening the curve. And, you know, I think we're a little bit better than a lot of some other cities, I should say. So I'm happy about that. But again, I just don't see how you make this happen with travel, Magnum. You can charter flights, but then you're asking for trouble again. You can't have everybody drive. I don't see how you get everybody to Vegas. I don't see how these things happen.
That's just it. I mean, I think we need to be realistic here as a country. And I mean, sports is our life, right?
Of
like,
course.
Especially for guys like you and me, this is what we do. We get paid to do this. This is our reality. This is our life.
Yeah.
We have to accept that there may not be sports for a long, long time outside of what we're able to get trickling in from other parts of the world. I mean, I'm hoping that maybe ESPN will find a way to get those Korean baseball games on. You know, whether they're tape delay, who cares?
Any sports is, you know, especially desired, you know,
because
wanted,
I think people would watch it.
Yeah, I agree.
And the Korean League, I mean, there's some really talented players in Korea. I mean, there's a reason why they're a pretty dominant force internationally.
Didn't they win a World Baseball Classic?
No, but they've played in a couple finals. I know they lost. I was at one where they actually lost to Japan.
Yeah,
in the finals.
I know they were good. Yeah. Like they obviously have a lot of good players. Yeah, I was gonna say we have players from Korea that are in Major League Baseball.
They are on par, I would say, with Japan.
Yeah, so there you go. That's Major League Baseball.
They're probably one of the top three leagues
Perfect.
In the world.
Yes, I'm in. Let's go.
You know, and
I got my resident expert on Asian sports. Yes, so this could be the most valuable show in Las Vegas. Let's go.
I know Japan was looking at starting up their baseball league as well, but unfortunately yesterday a couple players in Hanshin, which is actually the team that I support, they tested positive for coronavirus. Apparently these three guys had all gone out to dinner together, and so one of them started, he lost his sense of smell and taste.
Which is one of the symptoms.
And he got tested, and they determined that he now had the virus. But, you know, locally, Robin Lehner was in the news a little bit yesterday.
Goaltender of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, he did an interview in Sweden, and he made some comments about he doesn't know if the league's going to come back. And he clarified those on Twitter. And his comments were, I said, I don't see it starting when we shut down at 1,000 cases and how it starts when we will have 100,000 cases. I hope I'm wrong, and it slows down, obviously. So I think that's a little context. I mean, let's be real. These guys don't want to go out there and risk getting sick.
Well, that's absolutely true, and that leads me to the next story. You talk about people not wanting to get sick. UFC announcer Joe Rogan, he's out of UFC 249. He's like, I'm not commentating UFC 249. Dana White has come out and said that he has a location for UFC 249, that it's 99% going to happen. He said a couple weeks ago that he doesn't give a blank about coronavirus. We've covered it pretty extensively. Now,
did I see something yesterday that the WWE Performance Center had someone test positive?
We'll get to that in a second. There might be some truth to that. Details a little bit scarce, but I think that's also because of the way
that was rumored to be a location he was going to do it.
Right. Well, I don't – and again, Kevin Ily from Yahoo put out a post about that, but then I had industry contacts that were vehemently, including I'm going to be careful here.
Don't give names.
Yeah, no, I'm not giving names.
We know what you're
– not giving names. I'm just saying I spoke to people that was never a part of the plan. So I don't know where that came from. Again, again, I'll get back to that. I want to focus on Joe Rogan and the UFC because Rogan saying he is not going to commentate for the UFC 249 card, I think, is very akin to a lot of these countries before the Olympics decided to postpone, where, like, the Olympics, much like the UFC, it's the show must go on, right? There are billions of dollars there. There is a lot to think about, and it's very, obviously, money-oriented. It's a business. I'm not, you know, trying to be a hippie here. I understand what is going on, right? But then it's up to smart people and people that, you know, care about their health to make individual decisions and be like, yeah, I want no part of that. That's what the countries did with the Olympics. Thus kind of, in my opinion, and we talked about it, Magnum, forcing the hand of the Olympics to postpone the Olympics. It was done by the countries that were like, nah, we're not going to do this.
Canada, Australia, Joe U.S. Rogan, swimming.
Joe Rogan doing this, I think, is, first of all, Joe Rogan is the biggest star in the UFC. If it's not Conor McGregor, it's Joe Rogan. Now, I'm not talking about fighters, personalities. Joe Rogan is a massive,
he's been there
massive
for
name.
A well, really, really, really
his,
long time.
I believe his first UFC was UFC 17 or 18.
Yeah, so he's been there forever.
Forever. Basically, since the start of the UFC, Joe Rogan has been a part of mixed martial arts and that company. Also, one of the most successful talk show hosts in all of the country. His podcast, his radio show is a behemoth. I don't think I need to inform anybody that. I think most people know that by now. But what I'm saying, that the stature of a man like that coming out and saying what he said, I think it holds a lot of water, and I hope Dana White was paying attention. Speaking of the UFC, got an update on John Jones coming up here after the break. Footage released from his DUI arrest yesterday in Albuquerque. We'll talk about that. One final note about people refusing to perform. Again, it's up to the athletes. It's up to the performers. It's up to the employees of these organizations to come out and speak. And as we know, WWE, we had Mark Henry on Tuesday to talk about WWE Hall of Famer, Mark Henry, World's Strongest Man, came on to talk about WrestleMania, which is scheduled to go on. Now, it is going on. It is happening. In fact, it has already happened. It's going to be airing a week from tomorrow on pay-per-view or the WWE Network, $9.99. You can sign up and watch WrestleMania. It's going to be a two-night event, Saturday and Sunday, a week from tomorrow. But they taped it yesterday and the day before. Now, why'd they have to tape it yesterday and the day before? Well, that's because Florida put in all essential businesses must close by 11 o'clock tonight, which was last night. So the WWE was rushing to essentially finish WrestleMania, which is going to be pre-taped without any fans. Again, horrible decision. I've talked about this. I don't know why the WWE is treating a flagship moment and show like WrestleMania like this. It is going to look odd and weird, and you're going to look back on it, you know, years from now and try to watch WrestleMania 36, and it's just going to remind us of this chaotic time. And there's just no way it's going to be as good without the pomp and circumstance and spectacle. But they've decided to do it. They've decided to go on. But it's going on without arguably the biggest match on the entire card. Roman Reigns, one of the biggest stars in the WWE, former champion, main event at WrestleMania past few years, big part of the company, arguably the biggest star they've had since John Cena left, was scheduled to wrestle WWE and WCW legend Goldberg. Remember the big gold dude, bald dude, I should say, with the barbed wire tattoo from the 90s, kind of the WCW Steve Austin? Well, he's back, and he's holding the Universal Championship for the WWE. That was supposed to be a huge match at WrestleMania, Roman Reigns versus Goldberg, but Roman Reigns, yesterday or the day before, I'm not sure according exactly to reports, he's like, I'm out. I can't wrestle. I don't want to wrestle. I don't want to put myself in this situation. Because why? Well, Roman Reigns, a little under a year ago, had to leave the WWE because his leukemia popped back up, and he had to get, obviously, treatment for the leukemia. He had to go back into chemo, and he had to beat cancer. So Roman Reigns is immunocompromised. Now, you asked the question about people being sick at the WWE Performance Center. I don't know the truth that's coming out of that. What we do know is Miz, Mike the Miz, Mizanin, the Miz, one of the bigger characters in the WWE, he's not on WrestleMania. He got pulled. He got pulled because he's sick. Now, no confirmation on if he has coronavirus right now, but I'm going to tell you this. When anybody's got a cough, when anybody's got a fever, when anybody's got chills or body aches or whatever, I'm just going to assume that they've got coronavirus because, well, it's a huge sickness that's sweeping the country, and I unfortunately can't think any other way. So the WWE is apparently – they have pre-recorded all their shows up until like April 8th, the day at which that Florida ban is supposedly going to end. But as we've talked about on the show, Magnum, Florida has handled this – first of all, America has handled the coronavirus outbreak worse than anybody. That
That's why we are leading now the world in coronavirus cases, and it is not going to slow down because we don't even have the testing yet. It is a it is really bad here in America. Florida is kind of the worst state in the worst country to handle this. So what they are going to be dealing with, specifically Florida, over the next few weeks, I can't even fathom what is about to happen in that
state.
Well,
I think we can include Alabama in there as well.
Sure.
Because the governor apparently yesterday or the day before basically made comments that we're not shutting anything down because we're not California.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's fine. Again, this is going to change our country forever. I don't live in Alabama. I don't care. I grew up in Indiana, and I said you could always take everything south of Fort Wayne, cut it, and kick it off into the ocean, and I'd be good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to seem intolerant. Yeah. I'm not trying to seem an elitist. But from the way you've seen Florida handle this and you hear from Alabama's governor, you get a better idea. It's just stupid. Now you're talking about ego. Well, we're not California. We do it our way. All right, man. Like, whatever you want to do and whatever danger you want to put your citizens in, and this goes for leagues and organizations, so the WWE and the UFC. I'm not your mom. I'm not your dad. You're a business. You want to take that risk? It is a massive risk. And if it fails, you are going to be dealing with the ramifications for years to come. Right? So it doesn't matter if it's the UFC putting on shows, WWE putting on shows. Who knows how many people in the WWE might have coronavirus right now? And the same thing goes back to Alabama. The governor of Alabama, if that's the
flag she wants to plant in the ground.
Yeah, sure. I was going to say, if that's the rack that you want to hang your hat on, by all means. Yeah. Whatever the wording you want to use, if that's the hill you want to die on, right? By all means, that is your choice. But the ramifications. And this is what I talk about. Going forward, and the way this is going to change the country, whether it be sports, whether it be government, right? People are going to remember this. And if people start dying in Alabama by large numbers, and the words of that governor, start ringing in voters' heads, that governor's going to have to deal with the consequences.
Yeah.
Because
it's almost criminally negligent.
I would say so. When you have the information and you see what's happening in other states, and then you want to come out and play an ego game, and you want to play like liberal elites in California overreacting to the hysteria.
We have to own libs.
Yeah, well.
That's not looking like such a good idea now.
Again, I'm just, and it's not even politics. I'm just glad that we're in a city where we're trying to flatten the curve, where we're preaching the importance of social distancing. I keep mentioning it. Red Cross is in dire need of blood donations. So redcrossblood.org, redcrossblood.org. You can go out. You can find an area where you can donate and help the community. Also, obviously, medical supplies, food banks, all that good stuff, everybody in need. But hey, I also know that a lot of you out there are out of work and you're not in the position to go out and to donate. And I fully understand that. So best to be well with you as well. Our thoughts are with you. Our thoughts are with everybody. This is a worldwide issue. It's an American issue and it's a Vegas issue. And we're here to talk about it. We're here to try to bring some levity, try to bring some fun, try to bring some humor, try to bring some education, and try to pass the day with you guys. And we appreciate you joining us here on the Mac Attack. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have an update on John Jones, and we also have an update. Are you feeling the void of gambling, sports betting, no longer in your life? No NBA, no Major League Baseball, no NHL. Hey, that's okay, because I got something sports-related that you can bet on at William Hill here in Vegas. Oh, you're going to love it. I'm going to tell you about it. When we come back here on the Mac Attack.
You're listening to the Mac Attack.
Nevada has approved sports betting operators to take esports bets. William Hill posting Counter-Strike odds matches, which for the ESL Pro League. I'm not sure. I know what Counter-Strike is. Shout out Team Fortress, Counter-Strike. Pew pew. Which will be shown live today, which was yesterday on YouTube. This is according to Darren Ravel. Nevada has approved sports betting operators to take esports bets. Man, oh man. We are only a couple weeks into this thing, and people are like, yeah, let's bet on video games. Let's go. I saw Joe Buck commentating marble races, which, honest to God, if you go just Google Joe Buck marble races.
Wait, he showed some enthusiasm?
It was probably the most enjoyable Joe Buck call that I've ever seen. Which makes sense. Like, Joe Buck was perfectly made for marble racing. The obscure. Certainly not meant to call a Super Bowl when David Tyree catches a football on top of his head, and I wish we had that pulled up. Seriously, go back and just Google Joe Buck's worst calls, and I know it's kind of a
redundant.
It's unfair. It's unfair because you're taking the worst calls of someone, but these are, they're so bad. Some of the biggest moments of the last 15, 20 years in sports, and it's just dead air. It's just like, oh, amazing. Or you'd be lucky to get that. Anyway, it's just but hey, Joe Buck calling marble racing, riveting, riveting stuff. But that's where we're at. That is where we're at. Marble racing and esports. And you were just telling me that you bet on the Sumo World Championships last week?
Yeah, well, William Hill had it up. I saw someone tweeted out that they had the odds
hey,
up.
Hey, let me get some of that hand sanitizer. That I'm touching my face way too much.
That they had they had the odds up, and I knew a little bit about Grand Sumo, because I have watched it a couple times.
Obviously. You are a resident Asian expert of all things Asian food, Asian cultures, Asian sports.
We're gonna have
just like an Asian day with Magnum. I feel like you enlighten us so much. Well, just as is.
I think you saw the pic of my wedding pictures.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes.
I embrace it, and I knew a little bit about it, and I was actually able to make a little bit of money. And you know, it was Amber Dixon from Channel 3 who tweeted it out. And when I commented on her tweet that I knew a little bit about it, her response was, the director of William Hill had said, basically anyone who has just a little bit of knowledge has an advantage over us.
Look at
you. And so I you know, it's like back 15 years ago when I used to bet the English Premier League.
Okay, wait a minute. Now I'm getting really excited. Now I'm actually thinking about this, because this happened with me in MMA about 12, 11 years ago. The lines in Vegas were not well thought out because people didn't really know. I had a huge advantage.
Now I can't win ever in the Premier League.
What? Well, but we can still take advantage of Sumo.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the cap? There's got to be a cap.
I'm sure there is. I mean, I'm not betting anywhere close to that.
Well, let's find the cap. Right. No, listen. This is like the stock market crashing. There are moments, Magnum, that are presented to poor people, and we're very poor.
Yes.
That throughout life where we can get a little bit of a leg up. A little bit. We can have a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah.
This is that time. Well, so listeners of the Mac Attack, I promise you, we are in this together. I appreciate your loyalty. We don't have giveaways to give away right now because the whole sports world is pretty much stopped. But what we can do, and we are going to do – wait, is there any more Sumo?
Not till
– no!
Wait, I think they're supposed to have one in May.
Okay. All right.
And this one was in Osaka, and they did it behind closed – they did basically –
Whatever. Yeah, I'm more focused on the fact that no one knows anything and you know something.
Yeah. And I'm hoping, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that someone locally will pick up the Taiwanese Baseball League too.
Do you got an in on that?
I've got contacts, yeah.
Oh, this is incredible.
Yeah.
We could get rich off this.
I know.
This could actually be a really good thing for us, and then vis-a-vis the listeners of the Mac Attack, because we're going to share this information with you.
So
we need like a proxy service. Cool, let's go. All these proxy services are down. We can run a proxy service on just Asian baseball and Sumo.
Yeah. It's better than
let's go.
It's better than had we hoarded toilet paper and started selling.
Way better.
Because now all the stores have toilet paper.
Well, this is also honest. Yes. This is a legit way to get over on people people. But
I know some
books.
People in Taiwan who are very closely connected with.
The pandemic is horrible, but there is a silver lining here.
Yeah, I want someone to pick the games up, show them.
Let's go.
If you're listening to this broadcast, Rakuten Monkeys. Five of the last six championships in Taiwan. They are the team to beat.
This is exciting.
I am a Brother Elephants fan, now they're China Trust Elephants, but
this is crazy.
They usually end up losing.
I never would have thought that your useless understanding and knowledge of just sports that we would never talk about.
And
you always wear like weird weird stuff. Yeah, I'm a weird shirt
today. I'm wearing
a
Nippon Ham Fighters shirt.
Whatever. I don't
Japanese baseball.
Cool.
It's where Shohei Ohtani.
My point is you're always wearing stuff like this.
Yes.
Yeah.
You wear concerts.
Yeah. I'm a music fan, and you're a.
Now here's the other thing, if the Japanese baseball league comes back soon, and we start taking action on that.
You're a real sharp.
I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but I know who the really good teams are, and I know who the really bad teams are.
Man, I am excited. We are about to this
Fukuoka SoftBank
Hawks.
That's who you want your money on.
I'm going to tell you this right now. The whole makeup and fundamental creation of this show is about to change from the ground up in the next coming months. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. It'll probably beat DVD talk and me opening up my own new Blockbuster. So. I actually give you a chance to.
Yeah, because people can't really come to your house.
Right. Well, that's why I would.
You leave it outside?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I could do mail delivery like Netflix.
There you go.
you know. And if they don't pay, then
you got their credit card.
I'll have doesn't China do like social rating? Like
probably
you rate people like on their social.
Yes.
I'll do that. I'll have my own Yelp. I'll verbally lambaste people who don't.
Another great thing about China.
Who
thanks.
Don't pay me. Tell you that prick who doesn't return rounders. I'm coming after you. I can't do without rounders or Caddyshack. I need those.
Oh, Caddyshack is great.
I was flipping through my DVD. Anyway, I'm gonna stay away from that. I'm gonna actually finish the show talking about sports because we spent the first half. I don't know what the hell we were doing, but Antonio Brown. A lot of talk around Antonio Brown, Magnum, where he might land if he's gonna land anywhere. A lot of people thought he would land with TB and TB. That is not the case.
No, not gonna happen.
I'm gonna tell you this right now. If you think Antonio Brown is playing with Tom Brady, he's not. If you'd like to make a bet with me, I will take that action because head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Bruce Arians, he came out and said, quote, when asked about Antonio Brown, quote, not a fit in our locker room. So, listen, we know that Tom Brady has a lot of power. He's got a lot of pull. He definitely can have input on any team that he's with. Well, it's really just been the Patriots for this entire career. After 20 years, he now finds himself in Tampa Bay. But this ain't New England. And even if it was, I don't know how much of the AB situation in New England was Tom Brady and how much of it was Belichick and Kraft, because Belichick and Kraft held on to Aaron Hernandez and, you know, have went out of their way to hire less than wonderful people at different points, right? Or people with controversy. So that might have been an organization move. But as we talk about an organization move, the organization of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it doesn't sound like they have any interest in Antonio Brown, specifically Bruce Arians. And Bruce Arians, that is Bruce Arians' team. So, and you know, another thing, Tom Brady's got weapons there. He's got Evans. He's got a good offense. Not a great offense, but he's got a capable offense that you could build around, and you don't want that. Antonio Brown may be better. He may be on the mend. He may be getting the help he needs. I don't really know. I know he's been a little bit less chaotic on social media, which obviously is good, but I can't believe that he's not a risk. You know what I mean? You got enough chemistry issues to worry about with the greatest player of all time joining your huddle this year, if we have football, right? Tom Brady? You already got to worry about that. I mean, not worry. It's a good thing that he's there. But it's an adapting period. It's Tom Brady. I mean, he's going to look weird. It's going to look weird for fans. It's going to look weird for everybody. It's going to look weird for Tom. It's going to take a while, I would imagine, for that chemistry to click. One thing you don't want is another new face, and for that new face to be Antonio Brown. So, again, Antonio Brown in Tampa, not going to happen. Staying in football, and really a couple really great stories from the football world. Or really just one that I want to start with, and then a couple from a different avenue, or a different sport, I should say. But Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints is donating $5 million to the state of Louisiana in 2020.
That's incredible.
Yeah, he's saying the priority now is helping our communities get through this tough time. After considerable research and conversation with local organizations, we will be mobilizing our partnerships with the Second Harvest Food Bank, Oxker Health Systems, Walk-Ons, Jimmy John's, Small Sliders, and listen, a bunch of people, and deliver over 10,000 meals per day throughout Louisiana for as long as it takes for children on meal programs, seniors, and families in need. Let's all do our part, maintain hope, and get through this together. Listen.
It's truly incredible.
There are a lot of instances like this where you hear about donations or philanthropy from athletes, and you're like, oh, that's nice, but like I'm that guy. Where it's like someone will donate $25,000 and I look up their payroll for the year and I'm like, that dude just made $25 million and we're like going to bow at him for giving $25,000 of that. Listen, I'm not – it's a nice gesture, but I often kind of roll my eyes at it and it feels more like a publicity stunt. $5 million to anyone is an ass ton of money.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is a lot of money. And there's no eye rolling. There is no, this is just a standing ovation to Drew Brees and his wife to go out and donate $5 million. We need more of it. I hope Hollywood follows suit. I saw someone, you know, tweeting out, I saw an actor tweeting out how terrible it was that all these workers in Hollywood, the cameramen, the grips, the audio, all these people that were going to be out of work and like help them any way you can. It's like, who do you think built Hollywood?
Yeah.
It's the people. It's the workers. So if you have $100 million, it's time to give it up.
Not all of it.
Yeah.
But it's time to start giving back. Right. Out. Everyone. The entire country. If you're an athlete, if you're the Vegas Raiders, right? It's time to start giving to Vegas. If you're a Chicago Bear, it's time to start giving to Chicago. The only thing these cities have, because it's clear that the corporations don't care about them, it's clear that their jobs don't care about them in a lot of instances as workers get furloughed and laid off. It's clear that the government doesn't care about you and your $1,200 one-time check. And I saw people saying, what's $1,200 going to do in New York? That's not even 1 month of rent where it sometimes hits $3,000. Where do you think $1,200, like $1,200 barely gets you rent in Vegas?
Yeah, it doesn't.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're rooming with four other people, sure.
Yeah, but
no, like, it doesn't get you anything, so nobody cares about you. The athletes, hopefully, I'm hoping this becomes a story going forward. It's not an easy move. I'm not saying you have to. Drew Brees is certainly in a much more beneficial place than a lot of other athletes, but there are certainly plenty of athletes like Drew Brees, legends, Hall of Famers, people who made hundreds of millions of dollars in these cities. It's time to give back.
Yeah, I mean, it's truly... Like, what Brees did is truly remarkable. And, yes, his coach tested positive. But New Orleans is going through, because, I mean, we were focusing on New York. But New Orleans, I remember that picture of Bourbon Street about a week and a half ago. I guess it's now 2 weeks ago. The police had to clear it out.
Yep.
Well, there's also a pastor in Louisiana who has a congregation of over 1,000 people. And he has said he's still going to have service at this church.
Louisiana, that's on him at this point.
Yeah. If people get sick and die who go to that church, he should be held criminally liable.
I agree.
Because at this point, if you
and the government can't get involved because of religious protection.
It's a religious thing.
Right.
Yeah. That's a tough pill to swallow.
Yep, it is. But
and
again,
in a lot of
it
cases,
is
our freedoms are going to be used against us. In ways in which we will be tested as a nation.
Yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes you just need to sacrifice a little bit for the greater good of mankind, which is what they do in Europe. It's what they do in Asia. It's not something we do here. We need to get better at doing that here.
Well, potentially this will be the vessel of change in this country in a many of ways, Magnum. And I hope that the rest of the sports world looks at Drew Brees. And again, I'm not – I kind of said everyone should. I don't want to tell people what to do with their money. It sounds ridiculous. I'm trying to, like, think back to the way I sounded just a few minutes ago. I understand that the way that may come off, I guess rather than demanding, I just say I really hope that this starts a wave of positivity and positive momentum. Drew Brees, $5 million. Wow. We just talked about Conor McGregor earlier this week donating $1 million for medical equipment, and then both Roger Federer and Djokovic both donating, tennis stars, both donating.
And there were a ton of soccer players in Germany who,
which is great,
who stepped up. So Lewandowski was the big name there.
So hopefully this catches on and this happens in multiple leagues and these athletes start doing some of the work that the governments are refusing to do. All right, I said we had an update on John Jones. We do. We're just going to have to wait till we get to it after this break. John Jones, video being released of his arrest yesterday in Albuquerque, and there were some doozies in there. We'll talk about it when we come back.
You're listening to The Mac Attack.
So, update on John Jones, UFC light heavyweight champion, arrested yesterday in Albuquerque, his third in 8 years, arrested on DWI and negligent use of a firearm. There was a video released of the arrest that is now on YouTube, and you can check it out. It's about 15 minutes long. Really odd quotes from Jones, clearly nervous. Dealing with the police, obviously. He's had a lot of run-ins with the police, so I get it. And he's a black man in America, so I get being nervous around the police. Fully understand, even if he didn't have the priors with the cops in Albuquerque. One of the quotes he had was said, "I saw these homeless guys. I was being nice to them, having a conversation with them, treating them like they're humans." Like, what? There was that. There was also a lie when he was asked about something. He said, "My short-term memory is really bad. People don't know that about me." He was stuttering, he was stammering, he failed the field sobriety tests, and I just go back to what I said a little bit yesterday with the UFC. I really hope that people treat this seriously. I hope that they get Jones the help he needs. He's never been to rehab. He went for like 12 hours
after one of his, I think it was after the positive cocaine test at UFC 200, he went to rehab for like 12 hours and then he checked himself out. He needs real medical help, right? He needs it both mentally and physically. And yeah, greatest fighter of all time, but clearly still in a tailspin, clearly still can't stay out of his own way and stop making poor decisions. Also, why doesn't John Jones have a driver at this point? Like, that's the other thing. Like, dude, you have money. You have real status. Get a friend to drive you. Get an Al Cowlings, dude. Come on. Let's go. See you on Monday, friends. It's a Mac Attack.